Like to call our meeting back to order from recess. Beth, if you could join us, and Randy, be the Missouri Department of Transportation monthly update. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm fine. I apologize, gentlemen. I had my days mixed up. I always meet with Christian County at 9:30, and I always meet with you guys at 9:15. You think I can keep that straight?
I'm going to say that doesn't give you much time with us if you're running.
No.
I'm just kidding.
It's every other, different Mondays, but still Mondays, so I had my times mixed up. At least I had my locations right. So, as far as an update, construction-wise, I think it's pretty evident we're starting to work out here on 160. They've got their changeable message signs up and a lot of their traffic control stuff up. Looks like they've been working on the erosion control in the four locations where they're putting in turn lanes or changing the direction of the traffic flow. And they've actually started work. They've actually got a track hoe out on Route H this morning, removing some pavement, getting ready for narrowing that throw to that entrance down to make it a little more evident where you need to be at. So,
could
so that work is progressing.
Could we get you to summarize what all work is going to be done again on 160 for those who don't know?
Okay, we've got four turn lane locations where we're adding left turn lanes and or improving the geometry, the angle of the entrance onto the roadway on 160. The first one is at F and 160. Right now, the majority of traffic is using Route F and then entering onto 160, so we're going to change the direction of the traffic pattern there to where F to 160 is the through movement. They don't have to stop. That will involve putting in a small island to allow kind of channeling of the traffic and to allow placement of like stop signs and that type of thing for the traffic coming from the northwest on 160. They will not have to stop, but they're a much smaller amount of traffic than the traffic that's on F. The next intersection would be.
It's a big change.
It's a big change, yeah.
That's a big change.
Yeah, but it's needed. When you go out there, I mean, probably 90% of the traffic's coming off F, so I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it's
a large percentage.
Is it going
to be a stop sign or a light?
It'll be stop sign.
Stop sign.
Control. And we'll have the changeable message boards that we're using now for construction. We'll have those up at that intersection and probably leave them up for a while just to make sure people are aware of the change in the stop condition. The next intersection would be where they're working at right now, which is Route H and 160. And we're trying to narrow that down and make it a little more evident where you need to stop and that type of thing, because right now it's just this big ocean of pavement and you have people going on the wrong side of each other to get onto the road and different things. So we're getting that to where it makes a little bit more sense. The next intersection would be 176. We'll be adding a left turn lane on 160 to get to 176 coming from Forsyth. And then the next intersection after that would be Casey Road. And same way there, they're adding a left turn lane for traffic to enter onto Casey.
When you say 176, you're talking about the turn down to Rockaway?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, the location between Route H and Casey Road. They're for traffic coming out of, mainly for traffic probably coming from Forsyth and circling into Rockaway Beach. So. And once they get all of the dirt work done and the widening and the geometric improvements done, then they'll be overlaying the entire stretch and putting in a shoulder with a rumble along 160. We say 2-foot shoulders. Some places we may not be able to actually fit 2 foot because we're just doing it within the confines of what we've got right there. We're not doing a lot of dirt work. We're not doing a lot of changes to the roadway. We're going to do everything within the right-of-way. So,
you sure you can't slip that third lane in from here all the way to F Highway?
We would love to do that. We would love to have
At least through Forsyth.
That is on our long-range plan, so it's still on there, but we don't have the funding for it right now.
So that'll be October? I'm just kidding. we're really needing that.
It would be nice, yes, I agree. And then they've also started work down on the overlays that they're getting ready to do on 165 and 265 in the area of the dam.
Mm-hmm.
They've done the milling to to bring the asphalt in and level at the intersections and stuff, so I know they're getting ready to do that fairly quickly. They may have even started, I don't know. I know they had milled last week. I was down there, I think, on Thursday, and they had done their milling. So Randy was telling me they're working in Ozark County. I'm sure when they finish up there, then they'll move over to here to finish up the paving. They're working, APAC is the contractor, and they're using their asphalt plant is there, right there in the Branson area, and they're producing asphalt, I think, for the project in Ozark during the day, and then they're producing an asphalt type product. It's called ultra thin bonded asphalt wearing surface, and it goes, it's a high dollar polymer type of asphalt that's going on 13, and they're doing that at night, so they have the plant running pretty well all the time, but they're just doing different products. So once they finish up with the U-Boss, and then they finish up with Ozark, then they'll start overlaying on 165 and 265. And then I would expect 160 and 176 are both receiving overlays, that those will be the last to be done. That's what order I would assume they would go in. So. The other project that we've got coming up, received word that they'll start probably next week, is Jernigan Construction has got an overlay in the Stone County area from Cape Fair to Reed Spring. And then once they finish with that, they will move down to 86 Highway between 65 and 13 and put shoulders on 86. We overlaid it a couple years ago, but it didn't get shoulders, and so we're coming back
all the way from 65?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's the only stretch through there that doesn't have the shoulders with rumbles right now, so in our district. So we're getting that done. And I think that's it for the construction season this year. I told you guys I would update you on the bridge project, but we did not have a meeting. They delayed it till this week. So I will try to give you an update next month once I know some more. But they were going to have a kind of a kickoff meeting, and it got delayed by a month. So let's see what else. I think that's about it. Maintenance is hitting it full throttle with finishing up the last of their asphalt work, their patching, that type of thing. And they are trying to do their final mow out. So if everybody could pay attention and slow down, we'd appreciate it. They'll be doing, in the areas where it's wide enough, we'll actually be doing two passes with the mowers. And then this winter we'll be doing more brush removal than we had been doing, than we had done last year. They're going to try to concentrate more on brush removal this year because of some of the concerns we had with the brush just getting too big. We've been doing a lot of herbicide control, but we've got a lot of – this area of the country is just a challenge down here in Taney, Stone, Barry. All the southern half of the state is quite a bit of a challenge with the brush.
But in the mowing, are they going to hit all the state roads in the county?
I'm sorry, ask again?
The mowing?
The mowing, yeah. They'll be hitting all of the state routes. They started 2 weeks ago. I think they started on September 9th. And I expect they'll be going probably into mid-October with the mowing, maybe later, depending on the schedule with the asphalt and some other things that they're trying to get done before mid-October. So, but I know they've had at least two tractors running at any one time out of each building, and then they usually have to have a follow truck down here too because of the terrain. And I will say that I was out on 248 the other day, just north of Branson, and people were doing a pretty good job of ignoring safety. We had a TMA truck, which means that it's got a crash-worthy follow-behind apparatus, so that if you crash into it, you know, it minimizes the harm to the vehicle and to our vehicle. Had that in the road, blocking, you know, you had to go around them. Had two tractors in front of him, and of course, with the right-of-way that we've got, we had. The brush hog was probably 2 or 3 feet over onto the pavement because there was no other ways for it to go. And people would just dodge around the TMA, you know, dodge around that truck, and then just sweep around the tractor, and didn't matter if anybody was coming the other direction or not. We just drive out in the other lane of traffic. So I am continually amazed at people's lack of forethought sometimes. But we try to do things as safely as we can, but I just keep pleading with people to just slow down. Slow down. It's not 5-10 seconds out of your day that we're asking for sometimes. And so Commissioner Strahan had asked me about where the funding has to go for the counties, I think, last time we had met. And I think your two sources of funding that you know, we get somewhat involved with would be the CART funds, which is fuel tax that comes to the counties, and then your BRO funds, your bridge funds that come from the federal government that we administer. Bridge funds are strictly for bridges, and those have to be bridges that are on the list of needs, basically, that need to be addressed. And then the CART funds, the way the statute reads is it's strictly road and bridge. So, yeah, we talked about other forms of transportation and why they can't be funded, and it's basically because that's how the statutes are set up. So it's set up for road and bridge. So some minor, you know, you get some sidewalks in there with that are supplemental to the roadways, but other than that, it's pretty well just road and bridge. So just wanted to clarify that. Has he got laryngitis this morning?
No, I've got a question for you.
Okay, I was just concerned.
I've noticed that you've looked at him several times waiting, but...
some of our small communities, I'll use one example because it just disappeared two weeks ago or so. And someone thought it was a state took, like, the Mincy signed down and some of the other smaller communities that they're just identity sites.
We call them community boards is what we call them.
Okay. Disappeared. Are they being stolen or is the state taking them down?
I don't think we're taking them down. A couple of years ago we had discussed not replacing them whenever they were either stolen or knocked down or whatever to try to save money. And we got quite a bit of backlash from people that, you know, there might not even be even a single person living in that community anymore, but it was just important to the surrounding community that there be some type of marker or representation. So we have been putting those up. So I don't think we've taken them down. If we had taken them down, we should have been taking them down because they were in bad shape and we were replacing them. So, but I would have thought we would have left them up until we had the replacement sign. So I'll check, but no, we're not okay, removing them permanently.
When I guess I could get in touch with Randy and have him contact your people on the ones that turn up missing, because it's very important to small communities not to lose their identity and location. And when those turn up missing, I automatically get a phone call.
I understand.
And so would appreciate that. And I'll get in touch with Randy and see if it's just a replacement deal or if someone is...
Yeah, it's possible since it's not a, you know, since it's not a regulatory sign like a speed limit or a cautionary sign like a curve, that they could take them down ahead of time in anticipation of replacing them, but I don't really think we would. So I will check with maintenance, make sure we're not taking them down. And then, we would appreciate a phone call with a list of locations. That would be great. So, because a lot of these, some of them show up on the map, some of them don't even show up on a map. So if a sign disappears, sometimes we know it and sometimes we don't.
That's about all I had.
Who maintains the outer road right there at Buchanan? And is that state?
That's my
state. Where we are?
And then we take over Buchanan?
We take over at Buchanan, yes.
Talking about that they're in front of our building and Meeks? And,
yeah.
Okay.
I don't know whose idea it was. It wasn't mine. But it was discussed that something similar with what you guys are doing at 160 and F be done at Buchanan and the outer road for that traffic, because no traffic comes from the south side. It all comes from Buchanan.
Yeah.
So changing that up.
Yeah, we probably would have to do some geometric improvements there, too.
Right. But to help with flow for the school.
Yeah. There's two schools of thought on that. Do you want them going faster? Or would you like for them to stop?
Surely you're not saying the students tend to speed a little.
Actually, I'm worried about the parents, but no. I'll check on that. I know that traffic. I'm sorry.
So instead of putting ripples on the shoulder, put ripples all over.
There you go.
Yeah, we won't hear about that.
I'll check with traffic. I know that I've talked to our maintenance supervisor down there about that before, but I don't know if traffic's looked into it or not, so I'll check with them and see. Along that same line, once we finish overlaying 165 and 265, that junction there, the southern junction of 165 and 265, it's south of the dam, we're going to make that a three-way stop sometime in the very near future. We're going to wait, obviously, until they finish getting their overlay and they're out of the way, but we'll come in there and we're going to make that a three-way stop because we've had a lot of complaints and a few accidents and just a lot of confusion, so probably a lot of near misses. So we're just going to go ahead and bite the bullet and make it a three-way. And I would expect it to be similar to what we'll have to do at F and 160. We'll have to put some CMS boards and message boards up to let people know that there's been a change. So.
Yeah, those are big changes for people.
I know.
Did you start to say something, Jimmy?
That one there is from 160. The only traffic that will be stopping is coming from the west on 160.
Coming from Walnut Shade.
Yeah, from the northwest, yeah. Yeah, because the majority of traffic, I mean, probably 80-90% is going on F. So we decided to go with the majority.
That'll be interesting for a while.
Yeah, I think it will be. But hopefully, you know, the construction is going to take a little while, so it'll be pretty evident we're making changes out there, and then we'll leave the message boards up warning people that there's a stop condition ahead. So
it may take me the rest of my life not to continue looking as I'm pulling out coming from F Highway.
My husband still stops. There's a signalized intersection in Monette that used to be a four-way stop, and he still stops at it. I said, we're going to get hit one of these days. But it's just automatic. It's ingrained. He learned how to drive that way.
I understand. Anything else?
I think that's it.
Randy, any questions from you or thoughts? No?
I think we're, as far as our snow removal plan, I've already talked with Mr. Middleton.
Oh, good.
Contact me, and we're going to continue what we've done in previous years with what we're doing. So that's all in good shape.
We're not supposed to have snow for a couple weeks, are we?
After the May 9th episode, we never know. We do have a commission meeting, a highway commission meeting in Springfield at the Springfield Branson Airport on the 2nd, which will be next Wednesday. And of course, that's open to the public. And I think the meeting's at 1:00. So I think they're trying to they're trying to make the commission meetings more open and interesting because they're trying to, obviously we're trying to get more attention focused on transportation. So. Oh, and that's the other thing. I did read a news release that Private Coalition has filed for an initiative petition for 1 cent sales tax for transportation. That was filed last week.
Who filed it?
Missourians for Safe Roads and New Jobs. And I'm not sure what that group consists of, but that's what the name of the group was. I just read a press release from the Jeff City area, so one of the local stations had picked it up. So
that would be for this November.
No, it'd be for the following November.
Right.
I guess I haven't read up on how initiative petitions work, but apparently the first phase is going through the Attorney General's office to check the language, which I'm assuming the language would be very similar to what the Senate had introduced this spring. And then the State Auditor's office at the same time, I guess, checks the math and just makes sure that what they're saying about the, you know, expected revenue and everything checks out and makes sense. And once they sign off on it, then they can go out and start gathering their signatures. So I would expect once it gets out of there, we will see some type of group down here, you know, looking to get signatures for the petition. So I'll keep you posted on that when I know more. This just happened last week, so that's all we knew. So
And you don't know anything about the percentages or if they changed. Do you think it may be the same as it?
I assumed it was the same, but I didn't see any language confirming or denying that, so I really don't know.
For cities, counties, and state.
Yeah, I know the initial talk that we heard was they were going to take the Senate language and basically make it into a petition, but I don't know how much that has changed from when it left the legislature and went into private hands. So
that's a big undertaking.
Yes, it is.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Definitely appreciate it. And if you can squeeze that third lane in the city of Forsyth, Sheriff would just be tickled to death about it.
We would love to do that. That's on Frank Miller, our planning director's list. Every time I talk to him about my area, he always mentions the. He said, boy, I'd love to get that turn lane. We'd like to get it done.
The question is, how long will we be under construction here on 160?
They have until the end of October, and so they haven't given us any. They just said that they'll probably be, you know, out there. I think that what they'll do is they'll get the improvements made, that, except for the overlays, and then it may be a lull between getting the geometric improvements kind of out there and sitting there waiting to be overlaid and the final overlay. I don't know. Shouldn't be much more than a few days between, but just depends on weather. So, yeah, that's all I can tell you right now. They have to be done by contract by the end of November or end of October. So. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Darren, if you'll join us.
Sure.
We have titled this PIO Public Relations. Mr. Coden, who spoke to us, was it Thursday? And Brandon was unable to hear part of that or all of that, so we've asked that you come and chat with us today.
All right, well, thank you.
With your thoughts.
Brandon, thanks for being here today. I hope the cake and the meal was very good.
You're referring to the retirement party that
I am.
It was a very good going away party for a guy who's been with us for 10 years. So yes.
For here in the county?
Yep.
Just for the record, there was some questions that were brought up last Thursday. I just wanted to kind of make a point to let people that were concerned know that I haven't had any phone calls or private discussions besides what happened up here on Thursday. And what we had talked about that time was what the different departments might want or what their needs might be in terms of public relations. There have been some changes that have happened in Branson over the past several years that have kind of moved us away from having an open government. Generally, there's a transfer of power, and during that time, everything is kind of opened up, and then after a period of time, sometimes things close for a variety of reasons.
Let me make one quick comment.
Sure.
We also have on here custodian of records, PSR. Could we move that to Thursday? I don't know if that's why you're waiting here, but I'm thinking maybe not. I would just like to have that discussion then, because we've got all our elected officials going to be upstairs with us. Can we move that to Thursday? I'm sorry, sir. I just wanted to give Donna a heads up there. Go ahead, Darren. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
So there's basically three things that that I think are important when it comes to information. One is being a member of the press and trying to get information out to the public is to lower the cost of information, increase the flow of information, and increase the accuracy. And a public relations officer or something that's along those lines, there's a variety of ways to do it, I think could help increase information to the public and not just for you guys, but for the whole county, increase awareness and decrease some of the time spent worrying about what the press is going to say by taking proactive measures. And I just noticed over the years there's been a lot of discussion about the press and what type of information is being published. And sometimes, from an outside perspective, it appears as if there's a feeling of victimization sometimes, that stories are coming out that may have the appearance of something other than what's actually happening. And so if you're proactive and have communication with the public, which is something that public officials deserve, that could prevent a lot of the, I don't know, heartache or public disputes that might happen and disturb your own lives. So I just kind of, I know that there's been some discussion maybe in because it's personnel and you guys can do that behind closed doors, that we kind of bring that out into the open and have some open dialogue about what the needs are for the county and how better processes in place for public relations or public relations personnel might help the county. So I guess at this point, since we've already kind of started the discussion, I wanted to kind of hear your ideas, number one, and maybe we figure out some solutions or if we even need or if the county needs some public relations personnel. I think it's very important, and I think that you would be best suited with someone from the media industry as opposed to someone that might be a personal friend. And that would be my main concern, because they'll understand the processes, the legal implications, and how we get information. Do you guys have any ideas on that front or what's being discussed at this point? I'm going to take that as a no. Mr. Hausman, have you guys discussed having a public relations officer here in the county?
First, I was writing down what you had commented. That's why I wasn't commenting. Just taking some notes.
Cool.
We've at different times chatted about the possibility of a PIO officer. Mm-hmm. We've predominantly done that during budgetary discussions, what that would mean with the addition of someone to do that. Did we need somebody full-time? Would it be a good idea? Could we communicate better with the public if, in fact, we had someone that would do something along the lines of what Jerry Adams did for the city of Branson, for mm-hmm. example? That would not just represent the county commission, but would represent the sheriff, would represent the county clerk, and the other elected officials that are in the courthouse, that would take whatever stories are relevant and information that's relevant and give that to the media so that those stories would be sure and get out in the public.
Yeah.
So we have had discussions, no hard discussions about it.
Yeah.
No motions have been made to do that. I don't know how else better to answer that. Do I think it would be a good idea mm-hmm. that we communicate better? Absolutely. Do I think it would be a good idea that we look at this? Yes. But we have not formally done that. Now, you spoke to us last, I'm getting that right, Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
For a while about the importance of it, mm-hmm. et cetera. And I agree that it is important, and it's important to communicate, but we, again, haven't done anything formally about that.
And I'm glad you brought that up. Jerry Adams was an excellent communications officer. He was a graduate of KY3. He understood the processes. He was very helpful in getting good and accurate information. And the increase in accuracy is probably the most important, because the public has a right to know what the government is doing. Because we're a free country, the press's job is supposed to be to give people the information they need to be free and self-governed. So increase the communication so that you guys can do a better job, and as a county, or we can do a better job as a community. One of the things that I would request today for my own research is to waive the fees for the metadata, which is the information about what Sunshine requests are being made. And I asked for that for the last couple of years. It will probably take about 20 minutes from the IT department to export the database into an Excel format, just to look at what type of information is being asked for. And I request this information once in a while.
So, say again, waive fees for what specifically?
For the metadata, for the list of requests that are being made to the county for public information.
And actually, as you've seen from the agendas, although we moved it again today, we are going to be talking about custodian record, PSR requests, how those are handled. Mm-hmm. It's my opinion, at least, and I stated this last week, that what we have is too stringent, and it doesn't allow different elected officials and department heads to give information that's readily accessible that's right there. Yeah. And so we're going to chat about how we can simplify that process.
And one thing that, again, at the federal level, it's very easy to get a waiver for the fees. I can find out more information about the Obama administration than I can physically walking down to the city of Branson today. It's become sort of a nightmare. And part of that, and again, I haven't had too many issues. Probably the only issue that I have here with information is during election time. And I think Mr. Glaze and Brandon can tell you about each election that comes. I go to the polls and check the numbers. And occasionally I'll have the sheriff called to intervene. So that's the only issue I've really had with the county in terms of information and the cost of getting and the cost and availability of digital information. So if I get something printed out, that might work fine for certain members of the press. But to me, in my field, it's sort of like getting hieroglyphics. It takes a long time to process, and there's a lot better information in the proper format. So I understand that a lot of your databases are kept in Excel. If we can get those in Access, if we can get those exported to Excel, which is a very easy process, that makes that information more malleable and allows us to do a little bit more with it. So getting a stack of papers 60 to 200 pages thick could take a long time to go through, where the relevant data, if it's in a digital format, can be accessed a lot easier. And I can go into more details in a written form to not bore you guys with that here today, but I wanted to kind of get the process started and then maybe submit some ideas if you to hear what your thoughts are, and then if I could be of assistance, provide some possible solutions. So I guess I'd ask today, is it possible to, or should we wait until the next meeting on Thursday to have a fee waiver for the list of requests that have been made to the county over the past year for information?
Donna.
We've already contacted the IT department. They can build that report. I believe the cost was about $8.50. It gives them a list of who has requested data, and that's basically all it is. It doesn't have the data. It's just a list of this person asked for this information.
Let me ask you a question specifically. If the media, any part of the media, wants access to who it is that's requesting information, why wouldn't we provide that to the media?
We discharge them for the IT department to go in and pull it. I can't physically pull it. It's in a database.
Is it a big deal for them to pull it?
I called and asked for an estimate. They estimated $8.50 plus the number of pages. I don't have the capability, the IT capability, so I have to rely on other departments to give me what their value is, how much time they spent, and what their hourly wage is.
Educate me a little. We'll educate the public as we go along here for just a couple minutes. And I apologize to the other officers. We're going to head upstairs in just a few minutes. Someone asked for a PSR request. I know that as custodian of record for the records for the county commission, you have all of the county commission records, or should have all the county commission records. What about the records for recorder? What about the records for any other department, if in fact somebody wants a copy of something?
For the recorder's office, they have a fee schedule. So any requests for the recorder's office, I send to the recorder's office.
That's a poor choice on my part. Those are set by state.
That's right. And I do the same thing for the circuit clerk. However, if it is the auditor's office, the treasurer's office, they both work with me. We just send an email to them or call them, and they prepare the information, send it over. We ask the amount of time that they've spent pulling that information. We calculate the rate of pay, and then we charge based on that.
Let's make this part of our, and thanks for that answer, part of our discussion regarding this on Thursday. Darren, I apologize for shortening you on time. We're scheduled at 10 o'clock with the elected officials upstairs to continue on the personnel policy. Do you have some other comments for us?
Yeah, just real quick. Brandon, you know I was teasing you, right, bud?
On what?
You know I was teasing you about not being here, right?
You're just jealous that I got cake.
I am jealous.
But I didn't eat any cake.
I am jealous. Well, the only thing I would say is if we have some set criteria about information that's going to be of value to the public, that's something that I would consider in terms of the waivers. And then the second thing is there are times in the federal government, Senator Santorum helped fix this issue, where the private market will do some of the work that to get information out to the public and to store the information, as opposed to having the technical expertise in the public sector pay for it. So there, again, if you guys want to have a discussion here at another time, I think I'd like to be able to.
Let me help you with just a general concept of where I'm at and what I'm going to bring to the discussion, at least on Thursday, that we're going to have, hopefully. I believe that taxpayers have a certain right, obviously, to the information that's available within the courthouse system. And I think that the Sunshine Law and all the laws that appertain thereto have made it more difficult for a number of things to happen that are detrimental to the taxpayers of this county. So it's my thought that we should be a little more lax and use a little more latitude and flexibility than has been done in the past, because our people pay taxes and our people should have a right to the information that pertains to them. Now, we need to find that happy medium where that if we're going to spend 2 days trying to find something and doing the work that they need, they can be charged for it.
Yep.
But I feel that if somebody comes in and wants a copy of something that's readily available, we need to give it to them. That's my personal thought.
Yeah, and
this is something we're going to discuss on Thursday.
Yeah, and just to add on to that, and thank you guys so much for your time, you know, instead of having a physical copy printed, there are times when a document can be put out and 50, 60,000 views can go to that document. So anybody that needs to find it, they can get to it. And that actually ends up being more efficient and
sure.
cheaper in the long run.
I agree.
Thank you so much.
We're going to stand in recess till we can get upstairs. We'll meet with the elected officials regarding the personnel policy.